Welcome to Tarot for the Wild Soul, a podcast that explores the tarot through an inclusive, soul-centered, trauma-informed perspective for growth, healing, and evolution. I'm your host, Lindsay Mack. Hello, loves. Lindsay here. Welcome back to Tarot for the Wild Soul podcast. Such a joy to be gathered with all of you as always. Thank you so much for being here with me today. So we have another Mailbag Monday episode, and I've got another roundup of three very complimentary letters, Ask Lindsay notes written by listeners, all of them having to do in some way, shape, or form with a confusion or a block around a card. And with two of the letter writers, this has to do with confusing one card for another, or not being sure about the difference between one card and another card. Very common, super valid, universal experience with tarot readers, in my humble opinion, where it can take a long time, a lot of practice, a lot of deep work, and just sort of time with these energies to sense into the intricacies, the intimacies of them. So that's super normal. And one letter writer who just plain old doesn't understand a card and is having a hard time with it. So we're going to speak to all of them. Some of these card pairings I have spoken to on the podcast before, but I do find it useful to revisit information. Sometimes people don't catch the episode, and sometimes it's buried in like a Q&A. So if you've heard me speak to this, you know, I'm sorry. Hopefully in revisiting it, it'll offer something to you too. And I'm hoping that even if you personally don't find the two cards in question that these two letter writers are writing about confusing or easily confused for one another, that there's something in the formula or the process of detangling them that can be of use to any places in your practice that you have card confusions. So with that said, I'm going to jump into these questions. So the first one is from Ginny, and Ginny asks, "Hi, Lindsay. First of all, I want to thank you for the profound impact you've had on my life and my healing journey over the last 5 years. It's been a wild ride, and I'm incredibly grateful for your gentle presence and wisdom shared so generously with all of us." Thank you, Ginny. It legitimately means everything to me. Thank you for sharing that. "I'm writing today about a question I've been wrestling with for some time. What's the difference between justice and judgment? I've been working with these cards for several years, and I still sometimes struggle to understand the distinction between justice as, quote, being with what is, and judgment as, quote, taking the blindfold off to be with what is. Does justice being in the middle and judgment being near the end of the major arcana have anything to do with the differences here? Also, does judgment have anything to do with literally being judgmental? I've noticed a few layers show up with both of these cards, and any insight you have to offer to clarify the differences here would be appreciated. Thank you." Ginny, thank you for trusting me with this. And I just really want to bow to your practice, because it's so clear that you've already developed such curiosity and depth of relationship with these energies. And I feel like it's an honor to serve you at this place where you're like, listen, I've done this work. I just literally cannot make sense of these two. And I hope that what I'm about to say will provide clarity. I really do. Okay. So just flat out, the differences between these two cards have to do with the experience of them, right? The experience, the flavor, the energy that we have with any two tarot cards are really part of the fine details that help us to understand that while these two cards look similar, they're doing very different things from one another. So you're right. On paper, like being with what is and taking the blindfold off to be with what is, obviously sound completely the same, you know? But one way that is always very helpful whenever we're like, what the fuck am I doing? What is the difference between these two? One wonderful way to start to find our way into what these two cards might be doing that might be different from one another is to look at the astrological ruling of the energy. Now, a small caveat about this, which like this is a big part of history that I'm really going to rip through very quickly and probably do a bit of a disservice to. I don't mean to show any disrespect to this, but all of the astrological rulings that we know to be sort of considered to be the gold standard for tarot, like we know that Magician is ruled by Mercury. We know that Emperor is connected to Aries. How we quote know that is because of the Golden Dawn. If we look throughout history, there were many, many different orderings of the majors throughout time since the tarot was created in like the 1400s, initially in Italy. But throughout time, throughout history, we see many different pairings. Fewer than 22 major arcana cards, but really in kind of the 1890s, early 1900s, when spiritualism exploded and all of that came to America, really kind of from France. France had a huge spiritualism boom, and that really trickled down, came to the United States, specifically New York. Spiritualism was huge upstate New York and in New York City, as well as other places. And the Order of the Golden Dawn was really connected and rooted in New York City. And they really, this group of folks, came up with a very intelligent and beautiful set of astrological and planetary pairings for the cards. However, I do want to just acknowledge that in looking to that system, it also was like created 120 or so years ago, that it's not the end all be all. It wasn't like writ large by spirit and handed down to us on scrolls, that these were humans just like you and me trying to make sense of the tarot. And, you know, while I completely bow to the beautiful work created by members of the Golden Dawn and acknowledge that humans are very flawed and that there are complications and issues that we all have. We're not looking for perfectionism. There is a tremendous amount of, I think, problematic aspects and exoticism that was present in the Order of the Golden Dawn that, you know, is just worth naming as we, you know, just worthy of unpacking inside of looking in this system. So anyway, back to this, now that we know what we're drawing, you know, what we're drawing from here, I do still think that the system in place, the astrological or planetary pairings of these cards really are quite helpful. They're not necessarily set in stone, though. So we can remove them, we can change them, we can find our own meanings. But for today, I'm going to jump off of what they've created. And we're just going to sense into it. We're just going to get curious. So Justice is Libra in that kind of ordering, and Judgment is Pluto. So right there, that's super different, right? Libra is cardinal air. Libra is about finding balance, finding harmony, wanting, like every Libra I know is paradoxically, I think, to the image that Libra is given as somebody who loves beauty and order, and like that's very true of Libra. Libra is not afraid to get down in the fucking muck. Libra wants to heal. Libra wants to dive in with other human beings and get messy. Libra knows we're not in this alone. They want to bond. They want interpersonal. They want, like, I'm sure Libras love their alone time. Libra is not afraid of the depth and the level of connection that comes with being in an interpersonal world, right? And Libra is about finding balance even inside of what might look imbalanced. It's about finding a center, even if center doesn't look the same as it did yesterday. And again, it's also cardinal air. It's a very powerful energy that has to do with communication. It's connected to the swords. It often brings up brain chemistry. So judgment can bring us into a lot of tricky spaces, a lot of tricky spaces. Pluto is very, it's connected to Scorpio. It's incredibly subterranean. It is my opinion that Pluto energy is what we move into anytime we work with eclipse energy. So again, I'm sure there's been like another human on Earth that's talked about that too, but as far as I know, there hasn't been anybody. It's just what has made sense to me observationally. So maybe I'm in concert with somebody who said the same thing. If they are, I tip my hat to them. I just don't know about it. So for me, anytime I go through judgment energy, it feels like eclipse energy, in that eclipse energy is typically a very strong bridge of time where we're excavating and revealing, where things are coming to the surface that we either didn't understand before, now we do, we have more context for them, we are meant to see something that maybe we didn't before, and that allows us to take action differently. But it has to do with a revealing of something. The blindfold's taken off. I don't know that we take it off. I think the blindfold comes off and then we get to choose what to do with that information. So that's one thing. So here is also the difference that justice invites us to, it's essentially, if we're embarking on a journey of recovery, of recovery from addiction, the first step being that we acknowledge that we have a problem, that is justice. It's not the recovery. There's not a sense of like, we're making everything better. We're acknowledging we have a problem. And if we were to zoom out, if there is an existential issue, if a wrong has been done to us, we are acknowledging injustice. This is here. And it's XYZ. This is here and I'm uncomfortable with it. This is here. It shouldn't be here. This is here. I don't want it to be here. This is here. It's fucking unfair. This is here and I don't totally trust that it's here. But what we're going to come back to again and again with justice is this is what's here. This is what's here. Just being with. We don't often, justice can be very uncomfortable. We don't often know where things are going, where, you know, where exactly we're headed with it. And justice is wildly stretchy and very spiralic. So what I mean is that I have personally experienced and read for people, justice has arisen in the most offensive, like, horrible things are going on and we pull justice. And that's not justice being like, hey, everything's meant to happen. Like, this is what's supposed to be here. Justice is saying, this is what's here. How can you bow to that and acknowledge it? First and foremost, is there a way to simply say, this is what's here, period? While holding how shitty it is, how unknowable it is, how horrible it is, how unfair it is, how uncomfortable it is, whatever it might be. It's just being with, because being with what is actually allows us to change it, actually allows us to get the help we need, actually allows us to admit we need help. I can think of many, there are many, many different justice experiences that I've had in my life where for one reason or another, I've pulled it and have just thought, well, that is a real kick in, you know, the butt and this doesn't feel okay. And all of the things about it have tracked that it doesn't feel fair. It doesn't feel okay. And it justice holds that. It says, yeah, it may not be fair. There may be no justice in the immediate. But what we sometimes trip up on when we're in a process, and there's nothing wrong with this either, but what we sometimes get caught up in just as human beings, understandably, is that if there's a real injustice happening, if there's a terrible event, we can be so consumed with what shouldn't be happening or should be happening that we actually lose sight of the fact that it happened. And from that space, when we have that knowledge, when we're rooted in the fact that like this occurred, when we're ready, we have the support around us and are, you know, in a place where we can accept and receive that information, then we can move into a space where we say, okay, this happened. Now what do we do about it? What do I actually need? What can I reach out for? It's a reaching for power. It's essentially when we know, when we've rooted into like, this is happening, we can ask for help, which is the Libra. We can reach out to community. We can call out. We can acknowledge that we don't have to go through this alone. Now, why I mentioned that it's spiralic is because it sometimes works in the opposite end, where nothing in our life can be particularly, quote, wrong. Nothing can be going on. It can be a very mundane experience. But we might feel like, oh, I need to be further. I should be further. I should be doing this, this, this. I could be doing this, this, this. Should I be looking for this, this, this? It's when we start to feel like, and there's nothing wrong with that. Like, that's completely fine. But if we pull justice for an experience like that, that's basically the card saying, you're here. There's nowhere to be but here. You know, even if it's not the sexiest place in the world, even if it's not where you'd eventually like to be, you're here. It's just about being here. And by being here, we're able to reach out for support that we need to help guide us to the next stage. And yes, you're absolutely right that the position of where these two cards are makes all the difference. So justice in the sort of golden dawn ordering of the deck splits the majors. It's the middle of the three lines of the major arcana. It's in the middle of line two, bowing to Rachel Pollack for her incredible work around the three lines. That was really her inception and her idea to split those lines. Justice splitting the majors, we could argue justice is the heart of the whole deck. How do we be with life? How do we be with our inevitable death? How do we be with the difficult, beautiful? How do we be with presence? And how do we reach out for one another when we really need help? Ultimately, I don't know much about the human experience, but like, I'd say that's pretty damn close, you know? Now, judgment. Judgment is on paper similar, but in practice so different. Judgment is a revealing of something that we just haven't understood until we're ready to understand it. It can feel shocking, and it can be glorious and really horrifying. It can be realizing someone's motives have not been kind, and we have just missed it, or we haven't wanted to see it. It can also be that we can trust in the goodness of what's here, and that there's beauty, you know, or that something is finished, or something has just begun, or it spans the gamut in a very, very big way. So it is a revealing. The blindfold is coming off of us, and we are seeing differently. We are ready to see. We are ready to acknowledge. And in my personal, humble opinion, injustice. We're still hanging out in line two. Line two energy, anytime we're in line two, we're working on curbing back the ego, the brain, who wants to hold on to so much, but everything's kind of falling apart. And judgment is like the last, second to last card in line three. Like all that shit went out a long time ago. And like, we're ready. We're so available. We're not holding on to really much at all. Judgment, I think also interesting to remember that judgment comes after the sun. And the sun is a very big revealing. The sun helps us to understand. The sun illuminates things that we actually didn't see before. Judgment takes it a step further. So while both of them are about acknowledging and seeing, they both, like if both of them are air, like they're both air, I guess you could say, but one of them is a really gentle breeze and the other one is kind of a whipping fall wind. Like justice is meant to whip the leaves off the trees. Judgment to me is just like, if you've ever, I know everybody has experienced this, but if you've ever been super anxious, like inside in a mask or whatever it is all day, cause I obviously wear masks, you know, it's wonderful. And if you've been in a mask all day, the experience of taking one off and taking that first breath of air outside is glorious. And so, it can be, it's really that deep breath of air. So if we're going to look at both of them as air, and I'm not necessarily making a parallel to the fact that justice is connected to Libra, which is air and, you know, whatever, anything like that. I'm just saying, like, if we're to look at them as being, quote, the same, they really behave quite differently. And there is an element of it that I may not be able to get to exchange that just, again, comes with working at it. In my personal opinion, I think justice is way more brutal than judgment. Honestly, like if I'm being real, judgment is the work we do before we hit the world card. You know, like we see, oh, wow, like we were doing all this stuff before. And okay, like if you've ever found yourself in a real powerful state of awakening and awareness and like, holy shit, I just didn't see it. I didn't see it. I didn't get it. I didn't know it. And now I have the perspective. That's judgment. If you've ever been in an experience where you are scrambling, squirming, struggling to accept the current reality of your life, where you must accept it, but you do not want to, or you feel very uncomfortable with doing so, that's justice to me. If we're talking about experientially, that's justice. So your sub-questions, yes, justice being in the middle, judgment being toward the end, I think have a lot to do with the differences, which I covered. I don't personally think that judgment has anything to do with literally being judgmental. I've had some experiences with being like, with finding some radical compassion inside of judgments that I've had. I used to teach this card that way. Sometimes, like I actually have had an experience with this card where I tried to really extend a lot of kindness to somebody who was really just not a very good person to me. I won't say they're a bad person. I would not cast that on them. But I never had a great feeling about them. I didn't really know why. There were a couple of really tricky encounters. And I kept like opening and opening and opening the door to them. And they kept walking through it, even though I feel like they didn't really like me all that much, or not sure what their deal was. Tricky, really tricky. And so I remember getting judgment around that and like asking specifically, like, what am I supposed to know about this? Like, I don't understand. And it really was very clear that, like, I was not applying the judgment that I needed to, actually, like the wise discernment that I needed to. And then in other ways it's shown up, it totally has shown up for me and been like, you know, maybe if I think more holographically about this, whatever. So I guess it can, but I don't necessarily know that, at least for me, it shows up with a really clear bell of judgment work around it. But another teacher or another practitioner might say differently. I hope that this helps. I truly, truly do. And thank you for trusting me with this question. So our second letter writer is from Rosie. And Rosie asks, "Hi, Lindsay. Thank you for all the wisdom you share on your podcast. It's helped me deepen my understanding of tarot more than any other resource." Oh, I'm so glad, Rosie. Thank you. "I have a question about the Hanged Man / the Tethered One. Something about this card isn't quite clicking, and I feel like I don't, quote, get it. How is it different from the Hermit, which is also about going inward and taking a pause? What is this? What is the experience of this card feel like? Thank you so much." Thank you for trusting me with this, Rosie. So again, for me, knowing that my experience doesn't dictate anyone else's with regard to their own lived reality with a card, when I am in the Tethered One, I feel that I am literally in a human-sized chrysalis, that I'm quite literally in a dark pod suspended, and I'm just there, and there's nothing I can do about it. And it's at times excruciating to not understand how long I'm going to be in it, what's going on outside of the pod, what's being kind of turned into goop, you know, like what parts are dying away, what parts are reforming. It is, I think, really where all the kind of death work that we do to prepare for the death card happens. Death is the moment, the death card represents the moment where we go into the garden and we understand, we realize that something that has been growing in the garden of our lives, some aspect of ourselves, because Tethered One comes right before death, it can't continue in the garden anymore. And we make the decision, we make the choice to actually uproot it and put it on the compost pile. Or something gets uprooted and is put on the compost pile, and we have to kind of figure out how to live with that. We have to grieve it and mourn it or celebrate it or whatever comes up for us. Tethered One is the space in which we do all of that work. It's where we go through our denial. It's where we go through our bargaining. It's where we go through our desperation. It's where we go through our depression. It's like knowing that something is about to change, but resisting it, typically so profoundly, and having a lot of big feelings about the things that are changing within us, and as a result of that, outside of us. 2019 was a collective Tethered One year, and that may give you a lot of context for what a year like that looks like. There were a lot of folks that I knew who were all echoing. We were all in totally different experiences, walks, places. We were all sort of echoing the same thing, that there was something about the year that just felt so, so brutal. Like there just was no, you were just suspended, like in what you were in. And it was really tough. And what the Tethered One does, like if we're asking, like, what is the benefit, what's the medicine here, is that it helps us to process the stuff that's ready to be cleared away. It's literally the dissolving of the caterpillar aspect of us in order for the butterfly aspect of us to be formed. That's what it's doing here. So obviously not an easy thing, not a simple thing, not a comfortable thing. The difference between the hermit, let's take the astrological pairing. So tethered one is Neptune, which is the ruling planet of Pisces, and hermit is Virgo. So hermit is sort of similar. It is. Both of them are line two energies, but they're both doing very different things. Hermit is an experience where we have at least some context for where we're going. We know this, we know what we're in, and we know like the next step. We know what we're doing probably tomorrow. And even that, we might not be totally clear. Hermit teaches us how to live presently. It teaches us how to move out of future scaping and flying off into this place and this place. It really teaches us how to come home. And rather than going out, it helps us to go down and in. So in my experience, those two energies feel and look very similar. Here's how they're different. Tethered one is a kind of an initiatory journey. It's like an underworld journey. It's the peak of the underworld journey where we are in this kind of dark chrysalis transforming and bowing to, surrendering to the things that come up, but we have almost no context for what we're going through. And it's all to help us to move through some massive transformation and release a la death card. So there's that. Hermit is Virgo. Virgo is devotional. Virgo is about service. Virgo is a seeker. This is card 9. So this is connected to the 9s. 9s are a very deep kind of solo journey. So the hermit is still really social, still like kind of can chat about what's going on, has some sense of where they're going. But for the most part, hermit is going on a very deep journey down and in to kind of discover things about themselves. I think the difference is like hermit to me is a year of like, is a cycle of like very deep therapy, journaling, sort of letting things bubble up and discovering things and potentially being really present, staying really kind of close to home, as it were, maybe even symbolically. Whereas tethered one is like a full-on suspension where you are literally just in the same shit. You have no clue. And everything that you thought was like secure and clear really changes. So it's the depth of it that's different. And it's the pairing. Like Virgo is like, okay, I will take this path. I will take this task and I will do what I can to work with this. Neptune is Pisces. Like, we don't know what the fuck is going on. And that's not a problem with Pisces. That's just, Pisces is so about, like, it's mutable water. So I think that there's, the feeling of them is quite different, even though both of them on paper look very similar. And hopefully I've helped in some way to illustrate the difference. So yeah, I hope that that helps. You asked me about the experience, so I hope that what I've shared tracks, or at least provides some potential new food for thought. So our last question is from Melanie. And Melanie asks, thank you for your work. I'm really grateful that it came into my life. I'm fairly new to tarot and I'm pulling Two of Swords on a regular basis. I just cannot figure out the significance of it. The conventional meaning really doesn't make sense to me. Do you have some insight on this card that can be fairly intimidating? I think I think I understand your phrasing of this, that the card can be fairly intimidating. And do I have some advice on it or some insight on it? Absolutely. Thank you for writing in and for trusting me, and welcome to this practice. And again, it is an honor to, especially for any new reader, to help to provide some insight. And I do have insight on this card that I have for you. Okay. I understand why the conventional meaning doesn't make sense to you, because it doesn't make any sense. So not to be a little petty spaghetti, but it's true. It just doesn't. Okay. So the twos, I'm not going to get like into the twos. So in Soul Tarot, how we view this card is this. We view Two of Swords as an invitation to come home to ourselves and process either deep emotion or an experience, what have you. It's dropping down and in to be with our internal experience, but it has a larger kind of, there are larger concentric circles related to this card. So one other thing that it really asks us to do is strengthen up our boundaries, especially around this time and space we take to process or experience something. So if we have anyone in our life, or if we're even, or if this is even coming from another internal place, like if we have some sort of internal part of us that's like, oh, you know, you should get over this, or like, this isn't okay, or whatever it is, then we want to take care to lean into Two of Swords, because Two of Swords basically says, this is your body, this is your mind, this is your life, and you have every right to take your time to process something, to alchemize something, to clarify if you need a little space, to grieve something, to figure out how something actually landed with you. It's unapologetic boundaries, space taking, and space holding. Now, where the traditional interpretation of it really fucking falls short, falls flat as hell, is because traditionally, knowing that there, of course, is some variance and you know, always room for that. Traditionally, this card has to do with really kind of warning people that we're being cold, we're shutting the world out. This is somebody who is like an island, basically. And honestly, I find that to be a pretty sad commentary on how uncomfortable collectively we are with people taking space and honoring their boundaries. It sounds to me like how people in my life who have behaved harmfully have taken my boundaries personally. And we just don't have to take that on. Like, that's a very old school view of things. And we just don't have, an old school can be great, but this school is not one that I care to attend. So that's not just an external pressure to be collegial, to not let things bother us, to not be difficult. But it's also an internalized pressure to like, oh, just let things roll off of us, or not let things bother us, or like to take space later when it's, you know, makes the other person less uncomfortable. And Two of Swords is in Soul Tarot not a shutting away. It's getting closer to ourselves. It's not shutting out others. It's saying, I'm using my mind. I'm using these two swords, a symbol of my mind and everything that I'm capable of in terms of my communication, this nervous system, like everything that pops up in the air element and in the swords. I'm using these elements to create a sacred circle around myself, so that I can move into that circle and check in with my body, with my mind, with my experience, with my thoughts, my feelings. How am I? How do I feel about this? How does this land with me? And it can literally look like, I mean, I'm thinking this happens in my house a lot where my partner will, not because they did anything wrong even, sometimes my partner will say like, hey, how do you feel about X coming to visit? You know, and it's not some heavy thing, but I'll kind of close my eyes and I actually will touch in about it and say, I think it feels okay. I'm going to give myself some time and space to do that. And because I'm in a great relationship, my partner's like, great, take all the time you need, right? So it's when folks pressure us or when we don't feel like we have the space to do that, that it can be tricky, right? The other thing that I think is worth mentioning, the only thing like connective tissue piece I'll mention is that the twos are inherently connected to High Priestess because High Priestess is number two in the major arcana. So I think it can be helpful to land on this because all of the twos in some way have to do with feeling into our own rooted comfort around something. Like Two of Swords is like, oh, can I be with what's going on inside of me? Can I actually give myself the space and the gift to do this? And Two of Swords can show up like anything. It can be like, I cannot talk to this person specifically until I'm clear on this. It could also be like, I'm not really available to talk to my community about this right now, or I need to talk to my community, but I don't want to talk to this person, or whatever it might be. Or it might just be like quiet time at our altar. It might be a meditation practice, or it might be a moment at the kitchen table with our partner where they ask us a question and we go, okay, I'm really going to drop in and think about that, you know? But Two of Wands, Two of Pentacles, Two of Cups, it's the same thing. They're all different, but they all have to do with coming home to ourselves in some way and giving ourselves radical permission to root into our own wise knowing, our own wisdom, our own, you know, chest, treasure chest of clarity that lives from within us, you know, that lives within us. I hope that this helps. I hope it provides some useful insight. And I really hope that you give yourself permission to lean in and feel into this card in whatever way it wants to be expressed and experienced through you. So thank you so much for being here. And until we connect again, please take care of yourselves. This podcast was edited by Chase Voorhees, podcast art by Rochelle Sartini Gardner, and this episode was transcribed by one of our absolutely brilliant and beautiful transcriptionists, all of which you can learn more about or read about on our website, tarotforthewildsoul.com. If you wish to dive into more of my work, learn more about Soul Tarot, work with me in any kind of capacity, I'm always creating new things for us to do together, but you can find it all about our self-led courses and classes and new offerings on tarotforthewildsoul.com. And if you want to be the first to know about any new offerings, any new projects that I'm doing, if you want to benefit from discounts and early birds and all kinds of lovely newsletter-only offerings, you can sign up for the newsletter at the link in our show notes. And finally, if you have a question for me to answer at the podcast, or if you'd like to work with me live on the podcast, or if you'd like your question answered on the podcast, please click the link to Ask Lindsay and send me your cues. Thank you so much for being here.